I was born in Bulgaria, and I started playing the violin when I was 6. I did not choose the violin. My mother chose it for me. I actually wanted to play the piano because I love the piano, and it's my favorite instrument to listen to. However, I love playing the violin. And after that, I moved to the States when I was 13, went to high school here, and then at 17, I went to the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia, studied there with Ida Kavafian. And then following that, I studied with Jamie Laredo at Indiana University, and now David and I make our home in Philadelphia. And I was invited to study here. I came here with the sole purpose of furthering my violin studies.
And is that where you two met then at Curtis?
We sort of met there. We knew each other there, but not very well. Then after I went away to grad school in 2010, I was moving back to Philadelphia. And so it feels like we met in 2010 at the Marlboro Festival, which is a music festival in Vermont during the summers. And we were both there.
I'm David Ludwig. I'm a composer. And I hail from Pennsylvania, north of Philadelphia, called Doylestown. And lived in New York City then for high school. Went to a number of schools along the way, lived in Vienna a little bit, and started teaching at Curtis after a year at Juilliard. Started there, and ever since have been living in Philadelphia, and so now I'm the chair of the composition department.
So you have some relatives in your past that sort of started this music tradition in your family.
On my father's side, his father played piano in silent movies and so forth, played by ear. The other side is a very distinguished musical family. My mother, her name is Elizabeth Serkin. So my grandfather was Rudolf Serkin. My uncle is Peter Serkin. Wouldn't be surprised if both of them had played here in the past. Great-grandfather was a violinist named Adolf Busch, who came here. They came just before World War II. They were fleeing from the Nazi powers in Germany, and were very, very grateful to come to this country. So my mother came over on the boat, and I was born here, and ever since they established the Marlboro Festival, my grandfather was also the director of Curtis some time ago. So it does go way back.
So what was your instrument when you started, or did you play everything?
I kind of played everything. I think it's good for a composer to play a lot of different instruments. It's also very nice to focus on one. I never quite could do that. So I played cello for a few years. I played classical guitar was my main instrument. I started on percussion, but my teacher quit because I think I was too much of a wiseacre for him when I was 5 years old. But I've been doing music all my life. I conducted and sang in choirs and so forth, and have just really, it's been everything to me as long as I can remember.
And how about you and your family background?
I come from a musical family. Both my parents were musicians. My mother was the choral conductor, and she played piano. My father was actually a very well-known Russian composer, so I'm half Russian, half Bulgarian. My father passed away when I was 4, so I never knew him very much, but I know his compositions. And there's a story with this violin concerto that David tells better than I do that has to do with my dad. So I grew up listening to records even before I was playing an instrument. I was listening to David Oistrakh playing Sibelius and my dad's music. So I grew up around music.
Tell us about sort of your career and some of the things that you've done.
I've been concertizing full-time since 2010, and every season is different, but it features just a very nice mix of solo performances with orchestra and some recitals and chamber music. The majority of what I do is playing with orchestras, and I play all the standard concertos, and for the last 2 seasons now we've been touring with this concerto, which is a wonderful consortium project between 8 orchestras that came together and commissioned David to write this for me. So everybody, all these orchestras have committed to programming it, and this is number 6 actually out of 8, and next week we go to Oregon and we play number 7 out of 8. So that has been really nice for us to get a chance to travel together. Another recent thing that I've just completed is a recital tour with the 10 sonatas for piano and violin by Beethoven in New Zealand, and we also recorded them. I played with a brilliant pianist whose name is Michael Houston, and he's from New Zealand, so we did that there. We had 16 concerts playing the cycle in a few different places, and then single concerts, so it was a very important tour for me, very meaningful.
And you said that you have a long tradition with Mark Russell Smith.
I first met Mark, actually, at the Richmond Symphony, where he had a position, and the orchestra commissioned me to write a piece for oboe and strings there, and it was really my first real orchestra commission, so I'm very grateful to Mark for kind of giving me my debut.
So tell us about this violin that you're going to be playing on for this performance.
It's a Niccolo Amati violin made in Italy in 1655. And it's a very unique, of course, it's a one-of-a-kind instrument, and I'm very fortunate to be able to play on it.
How long have you had it?
Many years.
So let's talk about this wonderful concerto, and you mentioned that the link with your dad, so let's get into that. So explain how you integrated this all together.
The prompt for the piece, when this consortium came together, Bella and I were engaged, and they said, well, can you write something about your marriage? And at first I thought, well, that it feels a little self-centered to do that. But what about writing about just marriage in general, about the ritual of marriage, something people have been doing for thousands of years, and the ceremony around it, and what it means to really commit to someone and be compassionate, the empathy of that. And so the piece is in three movements, a kind of before a wedding, during a wedding, during the ceremony, and afterwards, when the community comes together around these two people who have committed to spend their lives together. And I took some cues from other pieces about the same subject, but there's not a lot. And it's funny because it's such an important thing in many people's lives. That's the kind of basic thought process behind the piece. Now, within that, composers often put in very personal things. And in this case, maybe the most personal moment, there are many. In the second movement, Bella mentioned her father, who she never knew, but there's always been a kind of presence, I think, in her life as a musician, as a composer. And we knew that he had written a violin concerto, or thought he had. And I used my school, the Curtis Library, to track down this score, which was at Northwestern, actually. So they sent it to Curtis, and I cribbed, I think, 13 measures from that piece and put it into the second movement of our concerto, and didn't tell Bella, actually. And the second movement is like a long wedding processional. It's the ceremony of it. And so in that way, it's almost like having a parent as a witness in the wedding, having him there and his music. And I didn't tell Bella until quite a bit later, actually. She had been practicing the piece for a while. And then I showed her the score. It was Valentine's Day. And she saw it, and we both had a good cry. But I don't know how I'm going to top that ever.
So you also included things about the Bulgaria background and that sort of thing.
There is a lot of Eastern European music in it, not just Yuri Chichkov's, her father's music, but Bella, you know, being from Bulgaria, and my own background actually is very Eastern European, from Belarus and Russia as well. Incorporating that music into this music seemed very natural then, very organic. So the last movement is called Festival. That's where the community comes together around two people who've just been married. And I use a Bulgarian dance called a Krivo Horo, excuse my pronunciation. Mm-hmm. It translates as a crooked dance, because that's how you walk home after a really great party. And so using these kind of influences in the piece really helped inform it and helped me put a structure, an idea around it.
So how do you pronounce that dance? And when you play it, are you kind of dancing crookedly yourself as you're playing?
It's called a Krivo Horo. No, I don't. I try to keep both feet with equal weight distributed among them so that I keep my balance. But also, people have asked me whether I get very emotional performing this piece. I don't think I can because I'm performing. You know, it's something that I need to convey to the audience so that they feel something, whatever they want to feel. But I don't want to break down in tears as I'm performing because then I wouldn't be able to do my job. But of course, it's a very meaningful project, and it's every time it's very, very unique for me to play this piece. And as we get to the part that my dad wrote, I think, well, this is the first time it's been heard here. Even last night's rehearsal, I'm like 99.9% certain that it's the first time we've played that, probably in the whole state of Iowa. So that's very neat. The first time, actually, the very first time that we put the concerto together with the orchestra for the world premiere in Vermont, which would have been last spring, I did get emotional. Sure, it was the first time I was playing it and hearing it all together because I had been practicing my part, but I hadn't heard it with orchestra yet. So it was very exciting.